I want to talk about the fact that the ministry is a yoke that is not easy, but at the same time, when we do it in the strength of the Lord, it's not difficult, because he gives strength. And this morning, I want to talk to you about one of what you might call the minor figures in the New Testament. I think we always look at people like Paul and Barnabas and Peter, the men that are really important and that are mentioned a lot. But there are also some other names in the New Testament that you read about them once or twice and no more. One of those men is Epaphroditus. Already a difficult name. What do we know about Epaphroditus? Not much, but we do know about him from the letter to the Philippians. So, let us start by reading from Philippians. First of all, chapter 1, verse 1 to 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. From this, just remember the word partnership in verse 5, your partnership in the gospel. So Paul says that the congregation in Philippi had a partnership with him in the gospel. Then we go to chapter 2. Beginning at verse 19. And here Paul speaks about some of his co-workers. First about Timothy, but then also about Epaphroditus. Verse 19, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. Verse 25. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. So far our scripture reading. So beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord, I want to focus with you mostly on verse 25, where Paul speaks about this man Epaphroditus. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier and your messenger and minister to my need. There are five words there that are important. The first three describe the relationship between Epaphroditus and Paul. Paul says, Epaphroditus is my brother. the Greek word adelphos. And I think Paul meant that to say that he is a brother in the faith. He's a Christian, just like you and me. But I think he wants to say a little bit more here. Epaphroditus was Paul's colleague. He worked with him like two brothers work together on something. And they did that because they spoke the word of God together, these two men. Epaphroditus was a colleague, a brother of Paul in the work of evangelizing, preaching the gospel. The second word, my fellow worker, or my co-worker, synergos, a common term used by Paul often in the New Testament when he refers to those who work with him in the preaching of the gospel. They are all co-workers or fellow workers commissioned by the Lord to the task of preaching the gospel. And the third word is perhaps a bit more unknown, fellow soldier. Sestratiotes, for those of you who know Greek, a fellow soldier. You could also say he's my brother in arms. Epaphroditus had struggled with Paul against those who oppose the gospel. And that there was opposition is clear from this letter. I'm quickly going back to chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. So there was opposition against the congregation in Philippi, there was opposition against Paul and against Epaphroditus. They had a battle to fight together, and that's what they did. And that's why Paul calls him my brother and my fellow worker, but also my fellow soldier. I wonder if you sometimes think about each other in that way. We are brothers in the faith, we are co-workers, some of us work together in the same church, but we are also fellow soldiers. We are brothers in arms because the Christian life, the Christian faith is also a struggle. There is opposition out there in the world. And we need to fight together and help each other, just like soldiers do. That's the first three words. And then there are two more, which describe the relationship between Epaphroditus and the congregation in Philippi. Paul says he is the church's messenger, your messenger. The Greek word there is the word apostolos, which can be translated as apostle. Most translations will not do that in this case. They won't say he is your apostle. They will say he is your messenger or your delegate. And you see that more often in the New Testament. You have to choose which word you use to translate apostolos. It could be apostle, like then it's one of the 12, or it could be more in the literal sense of someone who is sent, then it's a messenger. And I think Paul is not saying here that Epaphroditus is one of the 12 apostles. That's not what he means. But he gives him this kind of honorary title to honor the congregation of Philippi, that they have done something very special. When Paul was in need, when he was in chains, they remembered him. And they sent him a helper, someone who could support him in his difficult circumstances. So he was their messenger, indeed. He came with a message from Philippi. We pray for you. We want to stand by you. And Paul says, what you did, you really sent me an apostle, almost. There's a second thing. He says that Epaphroditus is your minister to my need. So the church in Philippi sent this man, Epaphroditus, to Paul as a minister to his need. And then the question is, what was the need and what was the kind of help that was sent. We find some information in this letter. If you go quickly with me to chapter 4, the end of the letter, 4 verse 18. There we find his name again. 4 verse 18, Paul says, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. So that's what we know then. The congregation of Philippi, which Paul had started, as you know from the book of Acts, when they heard that Paul was in prison, that he was being oppressed, and that he had a hard life, they were not just praying for him, but they sent someone, their own minister, Epaphroditus, with gifts you sent. And we can assume, I guess, that these would have been financial gifts. And, of course, that was a great encouragement to the Apostle Paul. We tend to think of Paul as a superhero, but Paul was a human being just like us, and he could also become tired and become depressed. And he also and rejoiced greatly when the congregations remembered him and when they did something like this, something very special, send their own minister with gifts to Paul. And he says, to me this was a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. There is something else that's really interesting. And we read it from chapter 2, our scripture reading. Go back with me to chapter 2. Verse 30, the very last verse, Paul says, he, Epaphroditus, nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. So Epaphroditus risked his life to make up for something that they could not give him. Let's think this through. What is he talking about? They sent him financial gifts, for sure. What was it that they could not give him? I think that was the fact of fellowship, face-to-face encouragement. They were in Philippi. Paul was somewhere else. They were not able to come to him and sit down with him and say, Paul, we are praying for you. We came to support you and to encourage you. So what they were not able to do, what was lacking in their service to him, they did by way of telling their own minister, please leave from here, make the long journey to Paul, and go and encourage that man, and tell him you're praying for him. So Epaphroditus came all the way to where Paul was, supported him with his presence and his conversations. He brought that gift from Philippi. And in some way, he was also helping Paul in his own ministry. And in the process, stuff happened. Because in verse 27, Paul says, indeed, he was ill, near to death. So this man came all the way, and then he became ill. He almost died on his journey, or maybe while he was with Paul. Thankfully, God had mercy on him, it says. And not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So it's quite a story about Epaphroditus. As I said earlier, he's a minor figure in the Bible. But here we see a leader or a minister of a local church, Philippi, who was sent by his church to go to Paul for two reasons. To bring him a financial gift. And secondly, to encourage and support Paul in his difficult situation. And I think they told him, Epaphroditus, just go to Paul, stay with him for a while. That man has a difficult situation right now. See what you can do for him and help him as much as you can. And I think this explains why Paul goes into some explanation about why he is sending him back now. Did you notice that when we were reading? Paul gives a long explanation that I thank you so much for sending Epaphroditus, but now I'm sending him back, and he explains why that is. in the first place, verse 28, he says, you had heard that he was sick, so you were worried about him. Now I'm sending him back so that you can see he's okay. He's okay now. He's healed. So, and then you won't be anxious anymore, and I won't be anxious as well. So that's why I think Paul wants to explain that there was no problem with Epaphroditus. It's not that he was not useful to me. I enjoyed it when he was here, but I just want you to know, as much as I enjoyed his presence and his cooperation with me here, I know that you are worried about him, so I'm sending him back. What do we learn from this? What can we learn from a passage like this? It's more on, you could say it's almost more personal things between Paul and the congregation, and he says a few things about Epaphroditus. But I think we can learn some beautiful lessons about how things work in the ministry of the Lord. I'm going to say three things here. In the first place, this. We start to understand a little bit better that word in chapter 1 that I pointed out to you, partnership. Koinonia. When you read commentaries on Philippians and you come to chapter 1, that area, I think it's verse 5, there is always the question that comes up, what kind of partnership was it between Philippi and Paul? What does Paul mean when he uses the word partnership? In what sense were the Philippians partners with Paul? And the standard answer is, in two ways. They were praying for him, and they supported him financially. And perhaps, and that's then the question in the commentaries, perhaps they also partnered with him in the spreading of the gospel. But I think there is even an additional aspect that becomes clear when you read the letter like this. They also partnered with Paul by way of sending him their own minister in order that he would support Paul in his ministry for some time. And I think this is still what happens today, even a place like here, Mukanyo. You have many connections to all kinds of churches, and the same thing still happens in our time when teachers come from other places to Mukanyo to share some of their time, stay here for a few weeks or for a whole semester or even longer, to partner with this college here in the work of the gospel. This is truly partnership in the gospel. We see it already in the time of Paul, that between congregations and from one country to another, churches were trying to help each other as much as they could in the circumstances of the time. And we still have that today, and it's something that we can thank the Lord for and rejoice in. The second thing that we can learn from this passage is that it is beautiful to see how Paul takes time in his letter to explain to the congregation why Epaphroditus is coming back earlier than they expected. We might think, oh, why make such a big deal of this? Okay, he's going back and he can explain why he's coming back. But this whole paragraph, verse 25 to 30, is meant, I think, to make sure that nobody will get a wrong impression about Epaphroditus coming back to Philippi sooner than they thought. Nobody should be able to say anything bad about him. Nobody should think that he was running away from his responsibility. Nobody should think that there was some kind of disagreement, perhaps, between Paul and Epaphroditus. You know, we all know how people sometimes talk, even in the Christian church. There should be no gossip, but there is gossip, and people start talking. Why did our minister do this? Why did they decide that? Maybe this or maybe that. You know, and before you know, you have a story going on and that's based on nothing. And Paul knows his people, and he knows that even Christians gossip and may say things that are not wise. And I think Paul wants to prevent something like this from happening, so he explains carefully to the congregation in Philippi, guys, I am sending Epaphroditus back. He didn't run away. There was nothing wrong between us. In fact, I highly appreciate him. He was to me a brother and a fellow worker and a fellow soldier. And I was so happy that you sent him to me. It was great. But what worries me is that he was ill and you maybe have anxiety about him. So I'm sending him back. That's all. Nothing wrong with him. And I think we can learn something from here, from him here. And that's the way we try to protect reputations of ministers. The way we speak about each other, the way we speak about fellow Christians, knowing that talking happens and reputations are really important. Someone's reputation is really important in the eyes of the Lord. And since we are Christians, but we still struggle with all kinds of things, jealousy and pride and so on, I think we should try to learn this, the example that Paul is giving here of trying to guard the reputation of Epaphroditus, that he can come home without any questions being raised. So that's a good thing. And finally, the thing that stands out here as well is the fact that the Lord uses men of different kinds, different backgrounds, and even different gifts in the service, in the ministry of the gospel. You know, if you read through the New Testament, you have these top guys, category A people like Paul and Peter and John. They are up there. And even in our own time, we have these famous ministers that everybody is watching their videos on the internet and you listen to their sermons. In America, we have big names like Tim Keller, John Piper, Don Carson. And we dream that I wish I could be like Tim Keller and have thousands of people listening to me. Isn't that true? That's the way we think. But no, there are a few people in the A category. And there is a B category, even in the New Testament, people like Timothy, Titus, Barnabas, Apollos. Well-respected men, well-known across the congregations. But then there is even what I might call a C category of men. A local minister like Epaphras. You see his name maybe once or twice in the Bible. Epaphroditus, the minister of Philippi. We read about him here, but that's about it. Not a big name in the New Testament. He's not in the A category. Yet if you see how Paul speaks about this man and how he honors him as a brother and a fellow worker, a fellow soldier, a messenger, a minister to my need, God was good to me by sending this man to me in my situation. You feel a real warmth and affection. And I think that should encourage each and every one of us. I don't know many of you, but we know we all have different gifts and abilities. We all want to serve the Lord. And perhaps there are a few men here who will go on and go very high, even B category or even C, A category, I don't know. But some of us, and I think most of us, are called to just be diligent and work at some place where the Lord is placing us or where he is going to place us in the future. And that's good too. That's very honorable, and the scripture honors these men highly. That's what verse 29 says. Receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. So there are Christian ministers today who are invited to go to different countries, and you see them on TV and wherever, but there are few of those. And we don't need to be all like them. It doesn't even need to be our wish or our desire to be like that. In the Church of Christ, there is great appreciation, there should be great appreciation for the faithful minister who simply serves his Lord and the Lord's people where the Lord has placed them. After all, isn't that the great commandment? Love your God with all your heart and love your neighbor like yourself. And we as ministers should be very happy if that is what the Lord calls us to do. The Lord places you somewhere, maybe you have your congregation, you're called to preach the gospel on a Sunday, and then that's what you do. You love your Lord, you love the word of the Lord, which you proclaim, and you love the flock, you love the people of the Lord. And if you do that, then there is great blessing, and there is great honor and appreciation as well. And your people, those who are truly Christians, will appreciate what you do by proclaiming the gospel. So, I understand you're starting a new semester here at Mukanyo today. And may the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless the teachers here, the faculty members, that they may have all the wisdom and insight and the enthusiasm to teach. And may the Lord be with all of you students. Work hard, but above all, remember, love the Lord and love God's people. Now, one more thing. We always fail in this, in our love for the Lord and our love for God's people. We wish it was different. We wish that we would be totally committed to serve God and to serve His people. But when I search my own heart through the years, I always find that, yeah, I'm trying, but I'm falling short. And yeah, my own person was often too important in my own life. And I got irritated too quickly when people were saying things about me. And you know how that goes. So we do fall short. But even we as church leaders, we can always remember that we live by the grace of God. There is forgiveness for all sins. There is also forgiveness for the sins of a minister, that we fall short in our dedication and our commitment. And I'm not saying, so don't try. Of course, we want to grow in these things and in our commitment. But I want to encourage you that we do have a high priest in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's there for us to intercede with the Lord. And in Hebrews 4, it says, we do have a high priest who has gone through the heavens, and he is not unable to have sympathy with our weaknesses. And he has been tempted like us in all the same way that we are tempted, but without sin. So we can always go to the throne of grace, and we will receive grace and peace at the time that we need it. So it's a throne of grace up there in heaven. It is also a holy throne, and it's a throne of judgment, but because we have Jesus Christ as our high priest in heaven, it's become a throne of grace, and we can go to Him at any time with our needs and with our failings, and we can pray, and we will receive grace at the time that we need it. So may that be an encouragement for you all. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Almighty God, we thank you for your grace and mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord. When we think about it, we stand amazed at how you have arranged things and how you have chosen things to happen in the world. We sometimes think that you took quite a risk when you decided that you will use human beings to be your messengers, because we are all sinners. So we do make mistakes, and our dedication, our commitment is not pure and full and complete the way it should be. And yet this is how you have decided it would be. And you have told us that we can do these things, although they are difficult, in your strength. So we thank you for the encouragement that we find in your word, that we can read about men like Paul and Peter and John and James and Titus and Timothy, and also the minor servants like Epaphroditus and Epaphras and others, whose names we read only once or twice in the New Testament. And that you were using all these men with their different gifts to serve you in the congregations. And that you helped all these men that they were able to do their work, that they were able to stand strong when there was opposition, and that you gave them wisdom and the guidance of your Holy Spirit. And now we pray that even today you will be with us, each one of us, in the place where you place us today. We know we are not perfect, and we ask your forgiveness for that. But we look up to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our High Priest, who is at your right hand. And in his name we pray that you would be with us, give us your Holy Spirit, and help us. We pray for the new semester that is starting here at Mukanya today, that you will bless the work. Be with each and every student. Some come from close by, some come from far away, other countries. And you know each and everyone's personal situation. And you also know each teacher, lecturer, and their situations. And you know our personal lives and our family lives. And we pray that we may experience what the Lord Jesus promised to us, that when we follow him, the yoke will be light. And we also pray that you will give us the joy that we may be busy and at work in your service, the joy of studying, the joy of growing in knowledge and insight and faith, and also the joy of growing in ability to share your word, your message with other people around us. And we pray for the churches that are connected to this place and where our people come from. We can imagine that some of those churches are missing the men that are here, that they would wish that they would be there to help them. And we pray that you will protect and guide and strengthen all those churches. Be with your church in this world till the day our Lord Jesus Christ comes back. In his name we pray. Amen.